And welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related. And I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin. And this week we have a great hour for you. We're going to catch up on a little bit of the news and go through breaches of the week. But what I really want to talk about is the deep dive segment, which I have a very special guest. And I'm going to let him introduce himself, but this is one of the most interesting interviews that I have probably done. You may have actually heard of this guy, and you are not going to believe the topic that we're diving into here, but we are going to be talking about flat Earth. That's right. The Earth is flat, according to my guest, and I think you're going to find this very, very fascinating and how the internet has allowed him to proliferate the flat Earth movement. So with that, we're going to start with the news, but stick around for the deep dive. You're not going to want to miss it. And in Amazon news, and I found this one actually really fascinating because Amazon has a new ingenious way of data mining you. They just let you change the subject. Now, here's what's going on, and we're past the holiday season, but this would be great, I think, in some ways, for the holidays. Amazon's Echo, that is their smart home device, can now be used to change the subject during family disputes that basically take place over holidays or whenever families get together. Research by Amazon found that 6:30 p.m., on Christmas Day is the time when family arguments are most likely to break out. Now, as a result of this, Amazon has added a feature basically to the Amazon Echo that prompts the virtual assistant to step in with a quote-unquote distraction technique. Now, using the phrase, and you know the start word, I've been told not to say it on air because it makes those units go nuts, but you know, Echo, or a word, Echo, change the subject. Basically, the AI-powered assistant will actually try to spark a new debate. And so one of the examples they have was, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Which, quite frankly, it is. Feel free to fight me on that one. But it is. I love that movie. Grew up with that movie. So it could also ask you things like, what would your superpower be and why? Now, here's the thing. I find this to be absolutely fascinating because, quite frankly, these things listen all the time. I've done this and I've mentioned this before, and I did a video, I want to say about 2 years ago at this point, where I basically went through a whole bunch of different words except the actual trigger word, like Integra, Allegra, you know, Schmexa, Rexa, Blexa, and none of those things fired it up. But as soon as I said the actual name, it would spin up. These things are constantly listening. And so imagine for a moment that you know, you have an Amazon Echo in your life and it's been learning everything about you. And as you talk in front of it, it learns what you hate, what you don't hate, and all of this. And now you've got something that will allow it to change the subject. And here we are. Maybe it's changing the subject to data mine you. So maybe it doesn't know your musical preference. And so it says, you know, like, you know, change the subject is, you know, is the Rolling Stones better than the Beatles? Discuss or something like that. And that prompts you to say, well, I don't like any of them because I'm a big, I don't know, Metallica fan or, you know, Eminem, like, you know, take your pick, whoever you listen to. And that then gives them more information. So in other words, if it asks you, and this is from the article as well, what would your superpower be and why? As you're explaining that, maybe it starts to understand where you're like, well, I really love Superman, so I'd want Superman's powers or something like that. And so suddenly you're getting advertisement for Superman tickets, Superman merchandise, the new Superman movie, whenever that comes out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Same for Batman, same for, you know, take your pick on a superhero. You know, in the same way that if it's asking you, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Then you'd say yes, no, oh, I love Die Hard, blah, blah, blah. Well, now maybe you're getting advertisements for Die Hard on Blu-ray. You know, this is the kind of thing that we really don't think about. And while I think it's a fun and novel idea, especially, you know, during the holidays, a lot of families argue on politics. We have a rather, you know, divided political spectrum right now, you know, and so by virtue of that, something like that seems very practical, but it's Amazon and they data mine. And it's just really those kinds of things. I mean, so from this article, and I quote, questions about whether jam or cream are added to a scone first and who is each person's celebrity crush are also among these questions. And so you could say, oh, I love, you know, blah, blah, blah brand jam. And guess what? Amazon will start advertising it to you. Or you say, oh, my celebrity crush is, I don't know, Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie or, you know, whoever it is. And now suddenly you start getting Brad Pitt movies or Angelina Jolie movies or, you know, take your pick. So this, I think, is ripe for data mining. And I think we always have to have that as a preset in our minds that as we use these smart devices, while it's offering us a feature that, let's say, would distract us and offer some relief from, let's say, a heated political discussion, it's also being used to data mine us. And I think that's a very telling thing. So with that, I thought that was very fascinating. And that is your Amazon News of the Week. And in what I think is really interesting news, if you want to get on the internet, you must pass a facial recognition test in China if you're in China. Now, here's what's going on. And the question that I'm really thinking in my head here is that really much different than what we do here in the West? And let me lay it out for you because I think this is just a fascinating news. I could do a deep dive on this, I think. The Chinese government basically announced a new rule which requires residents to pass a facial recognition test in order to apply for an internet connection via a smartphone or a computer. Now, the rule will be implemented from December 1st, 2019 and on. In addition, no cell phone or landline number can be transferred to another person privately. It has to go through the government. This is an upgraded restriction after the Chinese Ministry of Industry and Information Technology required all applicants to present a valid ID and personal information to register for a cell phone or a landline number since January of 2015. The ministry published the new rule on its official website and distributed to all telecom carriers on September 27th, which includes three main requests. Now, let me take you through these. First, the telecom carriers must use facial recognition to test whether an applicant who applies for the internet connection is the owner of the ID that they use basically since December 1st. At the same time, the carriers must test that the ID is genuine and valid. In other words, you must prove who you are to the carrier. Second, all telecom carriers must upgrade their services terms and conditions to notify all of their customers that they are not allowed to transfer or resell their cell phone or SIM card to another person by the end of November 2019. Third, telecom carriers should help their customers to check whether there are cell phone or landline numbers that don't belong to them but are registered under their names since December 1st. So for unidentified numbers, the telecom carriers must investigate and close those lines immediately. Now, the ministry said in the notice that it will arrange for supervisors to check each telecom carrier's performance and will arrange inspections to make sure that all carriers will follow these rules strictly. And so China is clamping down on communications. They've always had a massive surveillance and technological surveillance state, and they are basically ensuring that if you are a Chinese citizen, they know that you don't have a rogue landline or cell phone out there. Everything is registered. Everything has to function through the auspices of the government. So you cannot sit here and be some kind of protester on social media on an anonymous number that they can track. They will know everything. And this continues that march in China for authoritarianism. What I find interesting is a lot of people in China appear to be okay with this, and obviously others are not. So we'll see where this goes. But is that really much different than what we have here? We have the ability to buy burner phones and all of that, but you know, for the most part, we're in facial recognition databases. If you have a driver's license, your state has your picture already. Most of us are signing up through the major carriers, the Verizons and Sprints and T-Mobiles, etc. And so they're running basic credit checks on us. So in that sense, while we have it, and I should also say, this is the thought I was trying to make here, is that the U.S. government has the ability, ideally through court order, to get the most detailed records on us from a carrier. The Chinese government is taking it up a notch, but we could possibly be moving that way. We are also turning into a surveillance state in many ways, and how do we balance that? So think about that. That's food for thought, but China is turning it up to 11, and I think that's not a good thing in terms of privacy, and I'm sure the ACLU and Amnesty International and a whole bunch of others will have something to say about that, not that the ACLU has any jurisdiction there, but China continues to turn into a more deeper surveillance state as the weeks go on. So with that, that is your China news of the week, and I'll keep you informed. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for breaches of the week. And if you have a data breach to report that's local to you or the major news might have missed it, please, by all means, send it to me, and I'm glad to give you a shout out and include it in the radio show and possibly a daily video. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can email questions at securityfanatics.com. Again, that's questions at securityfanatics.com. And I'm more than happy to include your data breach and give you a shout out on the air. With that, let's begin. And before we dive into Breaches of the Week, I'd like to thank the following people, as I always do at the beginning of these, because this really, I have to say, is a team effort here. And there's a lot of people that send me links or tag me or you know, just give me information throughout the week that really makes my life a lot easier when I research these things every Sunday. And so Neville Goodles, Chris Fellon, Barrett Peterson, Rebecca Rutherford, David Walker, and Sandor Sleidnerink, guys, thank you very much for all of your help. And if you are listening out there and have a breach for me, you can hit me up on basically all my social media, questions at securityfanatics, etc. I mentioned that in the preamble. So with that, let's dive right in, because there is a lot going on in breaches. And the first thing we're going to be talking about is 12,000 users across 149 countries. Now, here's what's going on. Google has directly warned more than 12,000 users across 149 countries that they have been targeted by government-backed hackers. Google says the attack attempts occurred in the third quarter of this year as part of its attempt to block these government-backed groups from hacking its users. Google says that its threat analysis group has been tracking more than 270 of these threat actors from more than 50 different countries. Now, the technology giant says it regularly warns targeted users about state-sponsored phishing attempts. Over 90% of these attacks are phishing for credentials. So heads up, if Google is alerting you that you're under attack by a state-sponsored attacker, I'm guessing you probably have something to do with your government or a critical sector. Moving on, let's talk about the Raven Air Group. This is out of Alaska. This is a small airline. They were forced to ground flights about a week ago or so following a cyber attack on their computer network. The nature of this attack was not disclosed. However, the company did reveal that threat actors specifically targeted the turboprop-powered regional airliner known as the de Havilland Canada DHC-8, also known as the Dash 8. And as a result of this, the airline actually had to disconnect its entire Dash 8 maintenance system and get the backups and the backups as well. And so I think what happened here is the computers that they plug into these Dash 8 airplanes basically got infected. And so they obviously don't want to possibly infect the operating system on the airplane. And so now they had to take them offline, but they literally grounded their entire fleet of Dash 8s while they worked to recover and fix that. So heads up if you travel using Raven Air up in Alaska. Moving on, let's talk about Visa. This is the credit card folks. Visa says North American merchants who operate gas stations and gas pumps are facing a rash of attacks from cybercrime groups wanting to deploy point-of-sales malware across their network. Now, in two security alerts published in November and December, respectively, Visa said its security team investigated at least 5 incidents of this type. The payment processor said cybercrime groups are carrying out attacks, and the main purpose is basically to gain access to the fuel dispenser's merchant network where they install this software. So if you are going to get gas, a couple of things that I would look at if you're paying by credit card, and most of us do, is on the credit card swipe where you pop your card in, I'd give that a pretty firm tug because it shouldn't come out in your hand. And if it does, you probably have a card swiper. I'd also look at the keypad as well because a lot of times they'll tag the keypads And so if the keypad is loose or you can pop it up, then you've also found a swiping machine. But above and beyond that, if the hackers are able to infect the malware system, or rather infect the point of sale system with malware, and they don't actually need a skimming device, they can just grab it as you swipe. So heads up to you. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Landry's. Now, they own restaurants like the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, Joe's Crab Shack, Saltgrass Steakhouse, and more. And they're warning customers after a data breach may have compromised credit card information. The breach may have happened when servers swiped customers' credit cards in machines intended to submit food and drink orders, as opposed to the separate machines used on point of sales terminal. And this is according to Landry. So apparently they have two systems, one to submit orders and drinks, which apparently also accepts credit cards. And then they have a separate credit card machine that they're supposed to be using. And probably for convenience sake, the waiters and waitresses are just swiping it on one machine. And here we are. So if you've eaten at a Landry's restaurant, Bubba Gump Shrimp, Joe's Crab Shack, Saltgrass Steakhouse, etc. I also think they own Claim Jumper as well. I want to say that was a Landry's. Maybe they sold it. I don't know. But either way, if you've eaten at Landry's, heads up, your credit card may have been compromised. Moving on, we're talking about a company called LifeBin. That's LYFEBIN. They're a healthcare startup. They expose thousands of medical imaging files, such as x-rays, MRI scans, and ultrasounds. Now, the Los Angeles-based healthcare startup allows doctors and medical staff to store medical images in its quote-unquote secure environment, per its website, allowing patients and doctors access from anywhere, and they were exposing all of that. So heads up, if your doctor's office uses, or medical office uses, LifeBin, you may have been compromised. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Belgium here, and a company called Allianz Partners. Now, a strong box containing backup copies of data related to disaster claims was stolen in the Netherlands in August. And basically, Allianz, which is an insurance and assistant company, disclosed this a couple of weeks ago. According to an audit and analysis of documents concerned, the Strongbox contained data on 160,000 Belgium customers who had filed claims for disasters or breakdowns under their assistance contracts or travel insurance. So heads up to you if you use Allianz Partner in Belgium. Moving on, we're going to be talking about a company called Synoptech. They're based out of California, and they provide cloud hosting and IT management services to more than 1,000 customers nationwide, and they unfortunately suffered a ransomware attack in the past couple of weeks that disrupted operations for many of their clients, according to multiple sources. The company has reportedly paid a ransom demand in a bid to restore operations as quickly as possible. Moving on, let's talk about Lurie's Children's Hospital of Chicago. This is actually one of the preeminent children's hospitals in the United States. They are notifying some of their patients about a former employee who basically accessed patients' medical records. Now, on November 15th, the hospital learned that between September 10th and September 22nd, basically over a year though, we're talking about September 10th, 2018 to September 22nd, 2019, an employee accessed certain patients' medical records without a business reason to do so. And this is according to the Children's Hospital of Chicago. So heads up, if you have one of your kids or are an employee of Lurie's Children's Hospital of Chicago. Moving on, we're going to stick with Chicago and talk about the Sinai Health System. They just got breached in a cybersecurity incident that occurred in the fall of 2019. Attackers are thought to have gained unauthorized access to the organization's email via a phishing attack, which is very, very common. Patient data was stored in these email accounts and may have the data that may have been exposed includes name, addresses, dates of birth, social security numbers, health information, health insurance information, and this is affecting 12,578 people, I'm presuming, in the Chicagoland area. So heads up, Chicago. Moving on, we're going to be heading to San Antonio, Center for Healthcare Services. A cyber attack shut down the computer network at the Center for Healthcare Services, which is Bexar County's largest provider of mental health and substance abuse services. The CEO, Jalene LeBlanc-Burley, confirmed a couple of weeks ago that the company's system was included in a larger-scale cyber attack that is under investigation by federal law enforcement. Apparently, everything really is bigger in Texas, so heads up those in San Antonio that use the Center for Healthcare Services, or Bexar County. So heads up there. Moving on, let's talk about Richmond Community Schools in Michigan. They fell prey to ransomware with attackers seizing control of their computer systems and demanding $10,000 in Bitcoin to release it. District officials at Richmond Community Schools said their servers were attacked by ransomware during the holiday break, and that the virus affected telephones, copiers, and classroom technology. The district has closed three of their schools for like the past week or so employees could resolve the issue, and officials believe it's going to be a very time-consuming process. So we'll see where that goes, but hopefully if you are listening to me in the Richmond Community School District, you've got that all cleaned up by now. Moving on, let's talk about a company called Active Network. Now, this is a company that provides web-based school accounting software for kindergarten through 12th grade for schools and districts. And you know where we're going with this. They disclosed a security breach about 2 weeks ago or so. The U.S.-based company said hackers gained access to Bluebear, which is a software platform that facilitates administration and management of school accounting, student fees, and online stores on behalf of schools and other educational institutions. Parents who accessed the school's Bluebear-based web store to pay for school fees or buy books or school supplies, et cetera, between October 1st and November 13th of 2019 may have had their personal data stolen by attackers. And this is according to Active Network. So I'm curious to know if this one's going to be another Pearson data breach. If you recall earlier in 2019, that was a massive breach. And for weeks, I was reporting on various school districts that got hit when that publisher got dumped. So this is the quintessential supply chain attack. So if you have anything to do with Active Networks or Blue Bear, you may have been compromised. Moving on, let's talk about Moss Adams. They are a rather large accounting firm in the United States, and they just disclosed the details of an incident in a statement shared on their website, on the website of the California Attorney General. As revealed, the firm noticed some unusual activity with their one of their employees' email accounts in October of 2019. Investigating the matter revealed that the email account had some personal information of the customers or employees, and so they suspect that attackers may have accessed the data. That's all I have on this, but Moss Adams being a large accounting firm, if there's an update, I'll let you guys know. Moving on, let's talk about Klamath County, Oregon. They are warning those with ties to the Veterans Service Office of a data breach of an employee's email account in mid-September that an investigation found affected people's personal information, according to the information on the Klamath County website. So heads up, Klamath County, Oregon, if you're a vet and you're using the Veterans Service Office, heads up, you may be affected by that. Moving on, let's talk about Erie, Colorado. This is a city that lost more than $1 million to a business email compromise scam that ended with the town's employees sending the funds to basically a bank account controlled by scammers. In other words, they thought they were probably dealing with a financial advisor or a vendor, and they paid $1 million to attackers, and here we are. So if you're in Erie, Colorado, your town is currently $1 million short. I hope they have insurance. Moving on, let's talk about Ingleside, Texas. They got hit by ransomware. 8 on-site computers have been affected and will remain disconnected until all of the computers have been scanned. That's all I know, and I'm hoping that business operations for the city of Ingleside, Texas have not been impacted, but heads up, Ingleside. Moving on, we're going to be talking about truckstop.com. Ransomware was behind a week-long outage that affected basically truckstop.com sites, including its load board online carrier safety vetting and payment services. So if you were wondering what happened at truckstop.com, as you're listening to this, if you use that site, heads up, they got hit with ransomware. Hopefully your data wasn't compromised. Moving on, let's talk about Air China. This is the largest flight carrier in China. They suspended a flight attendant, and I think this is interesting, over a personal data breach involving 20 celebrities. Now, this this employee is accused of publishing personal information on social media about famous passengers. The flight attendant had published information on about 20 celebrities on Weibo, or Weibo, that is basically their version of Facebook, including the details of their flight records, membership card status, nationality, and date of birth. So obviously this flight attendant crossed the line. Now, I think if you're a flight attendant and let's say somebody famous sits on your flight, I don't think there's a problem per se tweeting out like, oh my God, you know, blah, blah, blah is on this flight. But obviously this flight attendant, he or she went way further than that, divulging records and statuses and all this kind of stuff. So that's a mess. So hopefully that will be the last one we see from Air China. Moving on, let's talk about Aurora, Colorado. Personal information of some Aurora Water customers, such as names, card information, credit card information, expiration dates, may have been compromised through a data breach, according to the city's water department. So basically, this is the Click2Gov data breach. I've been mentioning this for a while now, starting back in 2018. So a lot of municipalities are now disclosing that they have been breached by virtue of Click2Gov. So Aurora, Colorado residents, you are definitely not alone, but heads up if you've used or you pay rather Aurora water and you did it between August 30th and October 14th of 2019. So heads up to you. And finally, there are two kind of things I really want to talk about. The first one is actually really heartbreaking coming off of the holiday season. We are going to be first talking about the Heritage Company in Arkansas. They sent home more than 300 employees, their entire staff, and told them to find new jobs after IT recovery efforts did not go according to plan following a ransomware incident that took place in October of 2019. Basically, ransomware put them out of business. Employees of the Sherwood, Arkansas-based telemarketing firm were notified of this decision just a couple of days before Christmas via a letter sent by the company's CEO. In other words, the ransomware was so damaging that, one, they just didn't have the ability to recover from it, and it actually put them out of business. Ransomware is a serious issue. And if you are listening to me and you are a business owner, please, please, please take proper precautions for your company. It is that important. And stay tuned to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show as we take a quick break for a public service announcement. We'll be back right after that.